70. Steris didn't have nearly enough time, but she had learned from both accounting and contracts never to be overwhelmed by scale. Dealing with sums of money in the millions didn't make 1,000 boxings less valuable. In a similar way, being unable to completely evacuate the city, or even a region of it, didn't lessen the value of a single life. So she left Constable General Reddy to handle the main evacuation, and hurried with the governor to the city docks. Her master plan included these people leaving via boat, which meant tons of people now crowded the docks. If that bomb exploded nearby, all of these would be in serious danger. In addition, she worried about flooding. She knew only a little regarding this possibility from the studies she'd read, but that was enough to make her alarmed. She had to rectify this miscalculation, get as many people away from this region as she could. The governor took command of the dock workers via their foreman. Following her instructions, he sent them to begin wrangling people for a retreat farther into the city. Steris set her notebooks out by a lantern on a workman's desk, sitting beneath the dark night sky on the road above the bay, worried about her low resources in this region.
"Steris Ladrian," a voice said from behind her.
She turned to find a group of 8 men and women in nondescript clothing.
"We were told," said the man at their lead, "you could use our help."
"Did the governor recruit you?" she asked.
"Actually..."
He was interrupted as Governor Barnes came jogging up, followed by several workers.
"You,"
Steris said, ripping out a page and thrusting it toward one of the men.
"Train conductor? I need all of these people gathering here inside these cargo trains. You,"
she said, pointing to another.
"Crane operator, right? I need those cargo bins moved into positions blocking the streets here, arranged to stem and slow a flood of water in case of a tsunami. Construction workers, congratulations. You're now constables. Wear your brightest hats and vests and get the people from these 3 sections moving inland away from the docks. I've outlined a route for you. You won't get far, but putting buildings between you and the ocean is essential. Dock workers, I need ropes, as many as you can find. We're going to make stable anchor points where we can start human chains to grab anyone who might be swept away if there's a flood. Hurry! Our primary concern is a blast out in the bay. Our secondary concern is flooding."
The majority of the foremen ran off through the mists, calling for their crews. It was rather fulfilling how alacritously they obeyed. She wasn't accustomed to people simply doing what she said. In the past, they'd always needed a great deal of persuasion.
"I've noted the structures I believe are strong enough to withstand a blast or flood," Steris said to the governor. "We should evacuate people in this region to the middle floors, congregated away from windows."
"This," the governor said, looking over the plans. "This is incredible. Why haven't you shared any of this?"
"It's mostly done for my own amusement," Steris admitted, "or my own anxiety."
"What a waste," he said, picking up one of the sheets. "I thought your evacuation plan was exhaustive, but this is even more so. It's brilliant. You have detailed plans like this for other disasters?"
"Only fires, earthquakes, hurricanes, sudden invasions, dust storms, droughts, food shortages, and mass pipe breakings. There are 7 more I want to get to."
He stared at her, his eyes wide, several of the remaining officials gathering around and nodding as they looked over her maps, instructions, and plans.
"Your talents," the governor whispered, "have previously been wasted, Lady Ladrian." What was this emotion? Feeling appreciated?
She'd felt appreciated before by Wax, yes, and occasionally Marcy. But to see it in the eyes of virtual strangers, to have her over-planning seen as a talent, not a bizarre character flaw. By the survivor, this warmth inside. She'd always said she didn't care what people thought of her, and she'd worked hard to build that bubble around herself, a protection against the way she was normally treated. But this was a remarkable feeling. Was this what it felt like to be proud of who you were, instead of worried you were embarrassing those around you? Miraculous.
"What is next?" the governor asked. "What else can we do?"
"I want to sink those ships,"
Steris said, pointing to the large cargo vessels out in the bay that were waiting to be called in to receive passengers.
after bringing their sailors in safely first, of course.
Excuse me, one of the remaining foremen said. Sink them?
I think it might slow the water, Steris said, in case of a tsunami. You read about what happened to the island of Alicargo 3 years ago? No? Well, anyway, think of speed bumps. Large cargo ships on the surface will glide over the water, or worse, be carried with it and slammed into people on the docks. Scuttled on the base floor, though, they'll create drag and slow the force of the wave if one comes. Again, instead of objecting or complaining, the foreman simply accepted her explanation and her orders. Only one seemed concerned. He hesitated as the others began to move off.
What is it? Steris asked.
His Honor, the Governor, the man said, told us there wasn't much time left. To get those ships sunk might take hours, Ladyship. We'll have to take tugs out to them. Not many of the cargo ships have radio yet. And then explain to the captains, probably fight them on it. Then the scuttling process, it's not as easy as it sounds. I'd guess 4 or 5 hours to get this lot sunk, at least.
Rusts. Well, that wouldn't work. Someone cleared their throat behind her, one of the 8 people who had approached her first. Oh, right. She still didn't know who had sent them, or even who they were.
Perhaps we can help, the man in the lead said. You're certain this is legal, the mass sinking of private ships?
Yes, the governor said. On my authority. If we are so fortunate as to have overreacted, the city will pay for the losses incurred by the ship captains.
Oh, Steris said, leaning toward him. Varlance, that sounded positively heroic.
Really? He asked, eager. Heroic?
Decisive, she said. Very leader-like. Nearby, the leader of the 8 people nodded to her, then launched into the air. Oh, allomancers. She had all the official ones working on the main evacuation, but having these to sink ships would certainly help, and then she could use them to help carry the injured or infirm away with steel pushes. The others followed one at a time until only one remained. He nodded to Steris, and on the back of his hand, mostly obscured, she saw a red tattoo.
Your sister, the man said, sends her regards.
Then he launched after the others. That was the last of the meaningful actions Steris could take. From here, she could only make certain her plans were being executed. Everything else rested on Waxillium. None of this would matter if that bomb reached the city.
You'd better be on that ship, Wax, she thought.